You know who's thrilled that the stock is out?
Who?
That piece of shit mother from Unknown Number.
Oh, Kendra.
Because the heat's off her for a minute. Because two new piece of shit parents have entered the ring.
Best day of her life.
Ugh.
Hi, Julie Pasquale.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Bam. We have just hit 500,000 subscribers on YouTube. 500,000 subscribers on YouTube.
That is insane.
I mean, it happened so... Half a million of you
that is,
are watching us. Hi.
Hi. I was like, who just... Did someone just walk in? Hi.
It's Gina Gershon. No, I'm just kidding.
Not again, Gina.
If you want to watch our full episodes, go check out it's True Crime Obsessed Podcast on YouTube. It's so fun. We give good YouTube. Interact with us there. Comment. We comment back. It's so fun. We love it so much. What's the other thing? Patreon?
Yeah.
We also have a Patreon.
We also have a Patreon.
We've got like over 500 full ad-free bonus episodes. We do after parties where sometimes we do AMAs. Sometimes we tell each other cases that they don't have documentaries for.
Yep.
We've got the Hero Bell tier where we send you stuff in the mail a couple times a year.
Uh-huh.
And for June, I'm telling you, we are sending out TCO Pride martini shakers.
Yeah, we always do a fun thing for Pride.
Yeah.
And this year, we're really excited about
it. I think we knocked it out of the park with the shaker. It's kind of crazy.
It's very fun.
All right. I'm feeling the pressure today. Tell them what we're talking about, girl.
All right. We're doing The Crash on Netflix. Now, I know...
Okay. Here we go.
Speaking of Patreon, I know everyone is up in arms about what Netflix did and did not include.
Okay, yep.
Do not fear. Do not worry.
Jillian is here.
We did a whole after party about it where I do my best to fill in the blanks. It's on Patreon right this minute.
At the after party tier. So that's the kind of stuff that we do over there at the after party. Jillian did a huge deep dive, like told us everything that was left out.
Like case files, which are all available. Like everything I got is available and on the internet. I can only do so much. I can't do a 2-hour after party, but it's all out there for you.
Can't you just see the top knot, Jillian, at 3 a.m, pencil through the knot, just like pouring over
the
information.
Not to be confused with this bitch's bun. That we're going to deal with later.
I can't wait to get to the bun. Why is this not called the bun?
Because she's an asshole.
Okay.
A car crash claimed 2 young lives and injured a third early yesterday morning.
This is the best friend group that I've ever had in my life.
We had just graduated high school. Dom and Kenzie.
I love you, baby.
They're such a duo.
I was Davion's best friend. And we are going to be unstoppable.
That split second changed all of our lives forever.
Well, we open on July 31st, 2022. It's 6:20 in the morning. This is like the cold open of the documentary. And we see the police body cam footage of them arriving on scene of the crash.
Yeah, it's July 31st at 6:20 in the morning in Strongsville, Ohio.
It's really bad. Like, you hear the cops talking. This car is literally split in half. I've never seen anything like it. We learn there are 3 occupants in the car. The driver is still breathing, though she's unconscious. They get her talking. She says her name is Mackenzie.
Yeah, and Davion Flanagan is in the car. He's 19. He is deceased. And Dominic Russo, who's 20, also died.
And the way the cold open ends, they say the real question is, was this a horrific accident or was this murder?
Well, this is a doc that's packed with people who do nothing but, like, out themselves as horrible people. First up, Rosie fucking Graham, Mackenzie's best friend.
Yeah, she really, like, Rosie really needs us to know that she sat with the cool kids in the cafeteria at lunch. She needs us to know it.
She wants to be, like, she is, everyone here is terrified of this bully, Mackenzie.
Yes.
And she is still ruling by fear, even from prison.
It's true.
So Rosie Graham is like, no, everything's fine. And she tells us about the friend group, Davion, Dominic, Mackenzie, and Rosie's boyfriend, Bubba.
Yeah, Kenzie was 17, Davion was 19, Dominic was 20, and Bubba. Do you know Bubba is what I call Daisy? I call her Bubba because I used to call her Baby.
Baby, and then
it just became Bubba, and now I call her Bub. So anytime I see another Bubba, I'm like, that's not your name, that's Daisy's name.
Yeah, this is like a 20-something year old guy who's still going by Bubba.
Yeah.
Bubba's like, the bond we had was going to be unstoppable, whatever that means. I don't think Rosie and Bubba were as close with Davion as they want us to think. Like, these people are very clearly Mackenzie's friends.
Yes.
And so I just think, like, Davion has amazing people here speaking for him.
Yep.
But I just wanted to call that out because I don't buy it.
No, yeah. Davion was kind of new to the group. Rosie says,
if Davion's there, everybody's laughing. He's the funniest guy. He was just goofy. And Dom and Kenzie, they're such a duo.
they were the total duo. They were always together. They'd been together for 4 years by the time of the crash.
Well, you know, that's interesting because she is 17 and he is 20, which means when they started dating, she was 13 and he was 16.
Yeah.
So
I don't like that. Having a 12-year-old daughter, I don't love those numbers.
You know? So let's go back to the body cam footage of the crash at 6:30 a.m. The first responders are realizing that Dominic and Davion have been killed, and they are audibly groaning at the horror of this scene, saying, you know, rest in peace, buddy. This is the worst crash I have ever seen, is what they're saying. It's unbelievable.
It's terrible. And, like, you always wonder, like, before we had police body cam footage like this, like, what it would be like to be the cop who's, like, the first on the scene to deal with the carnage.
To see something so, I mean, really, the car is destroyed. We'll get into it later, but it really shook me.
Yeah. No, me too. They find mushrooms, like psychedelic mushrooms and weed in the car. Then we see the body cam footage of the cops telling Mackenzie's parents that the other two people in the car are dead. They look like they're either at the police station or in a hospital waiting room. We're not sure. But I'm like, we've got to do better than that. The cop does not know the name of the people that are dead. And when they start offering names, they're like, maybe it could be that person. And I get that they don't have a lot of information. But, like, maybe then just don't say anything.
I know. But fuck these two people. So Mackenzie's parents are Natalie, the mom, Steve, the dad. Did you clock that fucking shirt he was wearing?
Everything about this is, remember we used to always say, like, run the comb through your hair when you know the documentary crew is
these
coming?
These people. So Steve, the dad, is wearing a shirt that says Boom.
No.
Like, it's in a comic book. Like,
no.
Yeah. So I wore a shirt today that says Karma. So this is for you, Steve Shirella.
He's getting his. If the internet is telling me anything, Steve is getting his.
It's all in the after party,
baby.
But, like, Boom, like, it's a comic book.
No,
like, you know, the old Batman, like, bang, zoom, whatever.
Yes.
Quite a choice for this moment and should tell you a lot about how awful these parents are. This is how they're choosing to present themselves in this documentary.
Girl, Quince is back.
Quince is one of my favorite things ever, if I'm being totally honest.
I know.
From the little, like, outfits that I can wear to the crossbody bag that you know I love, and their candles are my absolute new favorite thing.
There's been a run on the candles because we talk about them all the time. But fam, Quince has beautiful everyday pieces like 100% European linen pants, dresses, and tops with styles starting at $32. All that light and breezy fabric for the summer girl.
Also, I forgot to mention their denim jeans, which I'm wearing right now.
Okay,
they're
great.
So soft. They're easy to wear. They're so comfortable. Finding jeans is really, really hard. Comfortable jeans when you're sitting all day.
I know.
Love.
It's also so affordable. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
And my favorite part is that they show you what it could be elsewhere and what it is on Quince. So it feels like it's just like a free $30.
Fam, elevate your summer wardrobe. Go to quince.com/TCO for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
Now available in Canada, too.
That's quince.com/TCO for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quince.com/TCO. You're gonna look adorable. And your house is gonna smell great.
Steve, the dad, also tells us
Dom and her were living together. There was talk of getting married. He was part of our family. Someone my daughter was planning a life with.
It's so crazy to hear the parents say, like, Dom is part of our family. And then their total lack of empathy for the situation.
Tear is shed.
And, like, everything is all about them and Mackenzie, like, their best friend Mackenzie. These are not parents.
No.
They're not parents.
Yes.
They're just not.
No, remember, like, the other thing we should talk about, how, like, when moms and dads are like, they're my best friend.
But Mackenzie's like, fuck those people. They're not my friends.
Right.
Like, that's how she acts.
Mackenzie's never met her parents.
She doesn't have parents.
She does not have parents.
I don't know who these people, they are not parents. They are people who want to sit at the cool kids table with their bully asshole little bitch of a daughter.
It's like, this is that movie Heathers where it's like all of the parents just want to be friends with their popular daughters.
I mean,
I know.
In what world?
Not in my house, Stacey Tipton Hines.
Look, okay, so we meet Dominic's family, Frank, his dad, and Christine, his sister. She has a podcast now. We will talk about her in the after party.
Oh, I didn't know.
She's like debunking some things and talking about a lot of things.
Oh.
So we'll get to Christine.
Christine, I like you. I'm into Christine.
Yeah, the families of the victims here are doing their best. I love Davion's family, too. We'll get to them in a minute.
Yeah.
They're just explaining how shocking and surreal this is.
And also, like, Dominic's dad went to the crash site.
The way it went straight into the building, that didn't make any sense because there was no skid marks before the impact. Right away, questions were going. Were they drunk? Did they fall asleep? Are they on drugs? I don't know what happened.
There were no skid marks before the crash site. Like, how could this, unless that, like, they were passed out or, like, already dead in the car, how could there not, how did nobody, like, pump the brakes?
It's immediately not making sense to people right away, even, like, non-experts. Just people are like, the math is not mathing here.
Exactly.
Davion's family is here. Divine is his sister and Scott is his father.
Yeah.
And Davion was a football star and he had plans to go to school to become a barber, which I love.
Yes.
And Divine says that she and Davion and her sister came from, quote, a tough upbringing, and they were all adopted together from foster care.
Yeah, and, like, the way she describes him, and we'll get more of this from her throughout, but, like, he was the only constant in her life. We don't know at what age they were adopted by this family. Yeah. So it seems like not from birth. So, like, Divine is, like, Davion was everything to her.
Yeah.
Her savior, he was one that picked her up when she fell down. He was her, like, constant confidant in life.
And I would think that when you grow up together in the foster system, like, you've been through the trenches together. It's a very strong, very specific bond.
Yes, yes.
Even though they're with a very loving, generous family. Yeah. Like, when you go through something like that, I can only imagine.
Of course.
That, like, hey, Bubba, that's the bond that's unbreakable.
Yeah, I mean, you all know this. Like, Steve and I were foster parents. That's how we adopted Daisy. She came to us at birth, but, like, when that doesn't happen, as it seems to be the case for Divine and Davion, like, we don't know how many families they went through. We don't know what their experience was. And, like, I can tell you, like, the foster care system is rough.
Right. So now, Cleveland, Ohio, we can tell by how this is shot that this guy doesn't take any shit. The music changes. We don't see his face at first.
It's just a
close-up of him walking with purpose, holding a briefcase. And I'm like, okay, who's this diva?
I always love when they're like, can we get that shot of you walking down the hall?
Some kind of music that's like that.
Do you want to be holding a cup of coffee?
And I'm like, who is this diva? His name is Tim Troop. He's the prosecutor.
I've worked on easily over 1,000 serious felony cases. This is without a doubt the most significant case I ever worked on.
By far the most significant case he's ever worked on.
Yeah, and he's saying Strongville, the place where this happened, like, does not have a lot of violent crime. It's a very peaceful place. And the department wanted to do this right. They wanted a prosecutor working on this from the very beginning so they could fully investigate and find out what the hell happened here.
And so Tim has two goals. Number one, get justice for the families who he says have so cruelly had their loved ones taken from them. And two, try to figure out what the hell happened.
Yes.
How did this happen?
No skid marks.
Zero. So, Tim, also, that's just a good rule in life. Not when you're trying to...
But just like, no skid marks. Way to go there early in the ep.
I got to get it out of the way. But now we don't have to say it again.
You can't say skid marks and not exactly think of that.
Because everyone's saying it.
And everyone's thinking it.
Right. So, okay.
Yeah.
So, Tim walks us through the scene. The interior of the car had exploded.
Yeah.
And Mackenzie was the only one wearing her seatbelt.
Yeah. I think we'll find out why later.
Yeah.
My guess is the other guys were wearing their seatbelts until they weren't.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Dominic was in the passenger seat, and we're told the primary impact was on Dominic, her boyfriend's side of the car.
Yes.
He was laying in the front seat, and Davion was originally in the back seat, but when the cops get there, he is laying stacked on top of Dominic. So we'll get into the how and perhaps why of that.
They also, in the car, as I mentioned, they find marijuana and they find those, like, magic mushrooms or whatever.
Psilocybin, yeah.
They find a digital scale.
Yeah.
Like, they were selling, it seems.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe they were just, like, maybe they were just trying to take the recommended dose. I don't know.
The records are out there, and even Rosie mentions it in a minute, that idiot Rosie, so,
She was a model. I don't know if you know that or not.
Look, we will get to it, and I will be as diplomatic as I can.
So, 200,000 followers she had. What?
Wait. Okay. Oh, no.
I'm jumping the gun.
This is a big, like, all these drugs and the scale or whatever, like, this is a big deal for the cops and the prosecutor.
I'm ticking through the potentials of what could have caused this crash. Was it operator error? Was it substance abuse? Or could it be a much more serious felony? We needed to get a full picture of who Mackenzie Schirilla was.
Was she on shrooms? Like, maybe that would somehow make a little bit of sense if she was tripping.
Because I was going to say, like, what I'm about to say is horrible, but that would be the best case scenario.
Right, that she thought something was chasing her. She was having a bad trip or something, right?
Yes.
So who exactly is Mackenzie Schirilla? Short answer, she's fucking awful.
Yeah, we meet Faith, who's Mackenzie's childhood friend. And now Mackenzie...
Faith
is here to tell us that, like, she's another one who just wants to sit with the cool kids.
All of these people...
She's for sure the Betty Finn.
...are, like, not smart. And I'm not even just saying that as a joke, like her parents,
yeah,
these friends, they're just not intelligent people. And they are just defending this mean girl, yes, to the death.
Yeah. I mean, because Faith is saying that, like, Faith was bullied and Mackenzie would stick up for her.
Oh, really? That's weird, because literally nobody else says that.
You're the only one, Faith. You're the only one here saying
she was so loyal.
Yeah.
We will get to Faith later. Mackenzie has serious injuries. I mean, obviously, when you look at the car, it's amazing that she's even alive.
It is. I mean, wear your seatbelt, everybody. Like, no joke.
So she has a broken femur and arm, 3 broken ribs, a lacerated liver, lacerated kidneys, a snapped neck, which caused damage to both her carotid arteries. Like, all of this makes sense. Again, when you see the car, it exploded.
She's also like a teeny tiny person. Like, it's shocking that she survived these injuries.
Right. So the cops want to talk to Mackenzie, and her parents won't allow that without a lawyer. Like, fine, great. Yeah. But then
the police attempted to get access to her cell phone.
That's when he asked me for the passcode.
So?
Of course we gave it. Go ahead. Go search whatever you want.
The parents give the cops access to Mackenzie's phone, and the mom's like, go ahead, search whatever you want. And I'm like, you were so close.
I know.
You asked for the lawyer, and then you totally negated that by literally putting in the passcode.
I know.
Like,
I know.
I'm glad you did, because, like, fuck you, but...
I just saw a defense attorney on TikTok saying, you don't have to do that. If the cops ask you for your passcode, it is your constitutional right not to give it to them.
This is a whole slew of people who have never once... had to deal with the consequence of any action ever.
They've
the parent, Mackenzie, most of all.
Yep.
But they are just like, what? Like, they think she's so perfect, or they're that scared of her that they just think everything's going to be fine.
And there's no, like, they never had the conversation of, like, this is how you interact with police. These are your rights, because you're going to need to know them.
Because she's a victim all the time, and everyone's doing wrong by her. Everyone's lying to her.
Yep.
Like, Princess Mackenzie.
It's also one of those things where you hate yourself because you're glad that they did it. You're glad that they gave them the passcode. It's like, you want that in the time when it's good, it's for the forces of good.
Yeah, because Tim, the prosecutor, says that the phone, like, phones are a treasure trove of information.
Yeah.
And Mackenzie's is, like, packed to the brim.
Well, because they're looking for evidence of intoxication, mostly because they want that to be the case. They want there to be a reason for why this happened. They're looking for any communication that might give any indication of what they were doing that night. They're looking at her social media posts. And so now this is when we get Rosie, who's going to explain what high school is like for them.
She would come to school with, like, a purse instead of a bag, which I thought was really cute. I got along with her well because I'm like, you're cute. She's like, you're cute. And I'm like, okay, we get along so well.
Rosie was very impressed that Mackenzie used a purse instead of, like, a book bag. And they got along because they were both like, oh my God, you're cute. And I'm like, oh my God, we're both so cute. Oh my God, we get along so well.
This is where Rosie says, like, when we met on social media, I had over 200,000 followers. How did Rosie get 200,000 followers?
In high school?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to lose your fucking mind of what I tell you.
Oh my God, really?
She has lost followers since I first watched this. When I first watched this, she had 996,200 followers on TikTok.
What?
She's now 967,000. She went from 1.19 million subscribers on YouTube to 1.17.
Oh my God.
She also has comments turned off on everything.
Of course.
I had never heard of her before this. She is a fitness influencer.
She is?
Like the Rosie Graham. She says she calls, like, what she does Pilates, but I don't think it's real Pilates, and I don't think.
Oh no.
But I'm going to get to that in a second. Rosie in the doc says, Mackenzie always wanted to be a model like me. And I'm like, okay, wait, as in we both wanted to be models, or Mackenzie Rosie wanted to be a model because Rosie was already a model?
That's what I assumed.
How do I say this?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Just say it.
It's nice to have goals.
I know. I would also like to be a model, by the way.
I also don't think model means what we associate it with. I think model is synonymous with influencer now.
Uh-huh.
I think.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand how... I was, like, on her profile today.
Yeah.
Of course, comments gone. Comments shut down.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand how... She's just, like, a grifter. She's not a fitness influencer because, like, does she buy all these followers? Her videos are just her doing what she claims are Pilates in really bad form. She does these, like, 30-day challenges. But I'm saying this as, like, please take this how I mean it.
Yeah.
She's been doing this since, like... at least 22.
Yes.
She looks exactly the same. So she's like, follow me on my fitness journey and transformation, but there is no
Let me say it another way. I know exactly one model. She deserves to be a model.
You know,
she looks like a model. She's going to be in a model.
The thing about a model, no matter what shape, size, whatever height, whatever you are, there's like, you got like a quality.
Yes. Yes.
Rosie's
yes.
a boring ass, uninteresting bitch.
Yes.
There's no one is like her. But like when she yes. walks into a room, everyone's yes. like, not like, oh, wow.
She's not
striking. There's nothing to her.
Yes.
You know, even when you see models dressed down
yes.
in sweatpants and no makeup, you're yeah. still like, oh,
damn.
Like that. Like there's something yeah. about you
yeah.
in some way. Again, yes. this is not like a body shaming thing. This
no.
is not a weight thing. I'm yes. just saying like, but you kind of have like a certain something. And Rosie's like a loser
yeah.
and like right. a grifter. And also
loves being in this documentary, by the way.
Well, because this really backfired for Rosie.
It did it? Yeah.
But she, like, and all of her profile pictures are either AI and or Photoshop for Jesus, because the person in that photo is not the person that we're talking to or in any of her fitness videos.
Uh-huh.
It's her in a bikini with like a perfectly chiseled, like Britney Spears 2002
yep.
body.
Uh-huh.
And that's not the body that she has now. I'm just saying what facts
are. You are stating
are.
Facts.
And I'm not saying that, look, I love all types of models. Like, we just did this with fucking Tyra.
You don't have to explain it to me. Yeah.
But she's just not, so she's a grifter. So she's like, the profile picture
yeah.
is this like, whoa, who's that? And then you watch the video and you're like, oh.
Oh, totally.
And it's bad for, I don't know anything about anything, but I'm like, she's like, that's not going to help anyone. That's going to hurt
question.
Somebody.
Does she do reformer? What kind of Pilates does she do?
She does it on a mat.
Okay.
She doesn't have a machine.
Those machines are crazy.
They are crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't think she, you know, it's just a lot of like, it's like me.
Oh,
it's like
God.
Me being a fitness influencer.
Like notoriously doing, hates running.
Like
yeah.
on a mat being like, I think this is what a crunch looks like.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best
yeah.
and like try to do it. And then I have a million followers.
I
Does she buy them?
Actually be the first to subscribe to your fitness influencer page.
Like, I would be
no
like,
question about it.
No one is hating this more than me.
I know.
Also, I think the 30-day challenges are also a scam. Like that's not like,
yeah.
you're not going to totally transform in 30 days, but
no.
like a couple years.
Yeah. It took me 3 years to be the glowing beacon you see before
you. Know, but
you.
I'm saying, like, consistency and
yes.
whatever. Like, no one's going to change. It, like, it's... And then it makes you feel bad about yourself because you haven't changed in 30 days.
No, right, exactly. Rosie's doing nobody any favors.
She's a fucking grifter. Fuck
yeah.
her.
And especially not doing Mackenzie any favors. This
she
is the
thinks
thing.
She is.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. If any of these people could just be like, yeah, she was kind of a fucking asshole. You know what I mean?
No one
no
is
one
saying
says
that.
It.
Not even her lawyer. I love when the lawyers are like, total asshole.
Yeah.
Yes. Murderer? No. Like, dirty slut? Yes.
Yeah,
murder
yeah.
or no. Whatever that guy said about his own sister.
Is my sister a filthy whore? Absolutely.
100%. Like, sluttiest of the sluts, queen of the sluts.
The only word I can think to describe my sister is whore.
Like,
yes,
but that's true.
But not murder.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
I can't remember the episode, but that's basically what he said. Did she kill
yeah.
someone? No.
No. Slut?
Oh, no question. Sluttiest slut that
yeah,
ever slutted.
That ever slutted. Girl, Batch Micro Mints is back. Look, fam, if you've ever taken a gummy and gotten hit way too hard,
woof.
I've definitely been there.
Woof.
This is the fix.
Yeah, these are my new go-to, the Micro Mints. So they look like breath mints.
Yes.
But each one is a real microdose, which is just 1 milligram of THC. So it's like the most approachable and controlled experience you can have.
Yeah, so the way it works, you take one, you see how you feel, and if you want a little more, you just take another. That's it. It's very, you are in charge.
Yeah, because you can't really split a gummy.
Right,
in
yes.
a really accurate way. So these little, like, you just have one little micro mint. Oh, I'm feeling okay. And then you just take, like, one step more.
Right. So the whole thing is, like, you're not getting high. It just takes the edge off. It's more like a glass of wine. It's a relaxed, you feel a little looser, but you're still you.
Yeah. And it's 1 milligram of THC, 1 milligram of CBD. So you never have that, like, out of control feeling that you just want to get off this train.
Yes. Oh, my God.
It's the worst feeling.
And they actually taste really good.
Yeah. And it's not really, like, a high. We're just, like, taking the edge off.
No. Also, minty, sugar-free with no weird hempy aftertaste. Oh,
yeah.
My God, that's the worst part.
It's so good.
So, fam, get 30% off your first order when you head to HelloBatch.com/obsessed with promo code obsessed.
That's HelloBatch.com/obsessed with promo code obsessed at checkout.
The 30% off is good towards subscriptions, too, so you can lock in that discount on your monthly supply.
We love it.
We love it.
We love it. Anyway, Rosie and Mackenzie are trying to be influencers together. They're always doing, quote, photo shoots.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's so stupid.
So Dominic had his own place, because remember, he was older, and Mackenzie moved in after graduation.
Even though she was 17, we felt she was mature enough to do that. They were becoming a little tied to couple. They cooked a lot together.
Her parents are like, our 17-year-old daughter was mature enough to move in with her 20-year-old boyfriend. I know I'm not allowed to have an opinion on this.
No, you are. She's an underage kid. You absolutely are.
But like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's insane.
Yes.
And as proof of how mature she is, her stupid idiot father is like, they cook together a lot.
I know.
They were adults.
I know.
And I'm like, okay, bro. And then he says, referring to Dom, who was going to be his son-in-law, according to him, who was brutally killed.
Yeah.
I say murdered. He's going to say killed. By accident. But this guy, like, a tragedy struck.
Yeah.
And the father's sitting here going, oh, the boy wasn't hurting for money. And Mackenzie liked that because Mackenzie likes things.
And he says it proudly.
Sir, you're being recorded.
There's a camera on you and your boom t-shirt.
That light, it means it's on.
It means recording.
And we're all going to watch it.
Yes.
Forever and ever, amen.
It is. They were literally, it feels to me like they were trying to marry her off to this guy who had, like, aspirations and a little bit of cash.
Because they hated her so much. Because they were, like, so scared of her, they want to breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
But Dom was always buying her designer clothes and accessories, and we'll get back to why he was, quote, never hurting for money.
Yeah, well, but also now we're back at the hospital, and we realize that the parents have not yet told Mackenzie that Dom didn't make it. And this is the moment where they have to tell her because she's asking for him, and they describe the gut-wrenching groan or whatever.
It's pretty bad acting.
Yeah.
I call bullshit on it because, like, people are asking what the hell happened inside the car. Mackenzie doesn't remember.
She remembers waking up. She remembers leaving the house. Then she remembers turning on the street. And then that's it.
That's it.
She was trying to remember. Like, she's trying. I'm like, Mackenzie, you can't. It's not there. It's just not there.
She remembers turning onto the street, and that's it.
Yeah.
And this is when Davion's father is like, yeah, this amnesia is super convenient because it lasts just the right amount of time for her to not be able to help police.
Yes.
How interesting.
And, like, we'll get to this more at the end, too. Davion's dad is the most reasonable person in this documentary.
Yes.
He's like, I can forgive anybody for anything as long as you are fucking honest.
Exactly.
You know?
Also, there are so many pictures of Mackenzie in the hospital posing and crying,
I know.
Like, looking for attention. And you know her idiot mother is taking the pictures.
Yes.
Because they're not selfies. They're her like...
You know what? You're so right. Not since Kendra. This is Kendra's best day.
Kendra, don't get too comfortable. She never forgets, okay?
Steel fight, steel trap.
On my list forever and ever.
And ever.
But these two, I'll talk about them today.
We gotta talk about them today.
We already talked about Kendra,
yeah,
but Kendra,
yeah.
Don't. Sicilian. True Sicilian.
Kendra, she's going to get Gotti good.
You know, my grandfather wrote a note in Italian when someone showed up to my grandmother's funeral saying, you are not welcome here. That's the grudge. Sicilians are, don't fuck around.
Do you know?
That's the most badass thing. I said to my dad, I was like, put that in my will. I want to do that.
I don't know if she's Sicilian or not, but Shannon Doherty had a do not admit list to her funeral.
I think that's great.
I do too.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Garth.
Like,
Did
they not like each other?
They came back around as adults. They are. I think they were fine by the end.
Okay.
But there was a do not admit list. And I got one.
I got one. I think that's a great idea. Like,
yeah.
I want to be with my people, whatever is happening. Like, no, don't come now, like, crying, oh, my God, I really... No.
I want to also know that I get to, from the other side, watch those bitches get turned away.
Of course.
You know,
that's what heaven is. A handwritten note
in
Italian.
Oh, my God, that's good.
Guy left.
He did?
Of course he did.
Oh, my God. What do you owe him, like, $6?
My grandfather was forced to join Mussolini's army when he was a teenager.
This is wild.
Okay? Like, it's so funny. I was just with my dad, and we were just, like, telling stories about my grandfather. And the story is, I think I've told this, but he was forced into Mussolini's army, and then when Italy finally ousted Mussolini, and they were like, yeah, we're going with the Allies now because we don't want to be fucking Nazis anymore.
Yeah.
And then he was a prisoner of war in Utah, but he was like, they were all amazing because the Americans were like, we know you didn't actually want to be in Mussolini's army.
God.
Like, literally forced, like, by his collar to be in Mussolini's army as a teenager. And he taught the whole camp how to cook. And the food, he was like, it's not that the food is bad, you just don't know how to prepare it. So he, like, then,
oh,
like,
God.
And then the guy, like, the American guy in charge, like, wrote him this really nice letter, like, when they discharged.
That guy was on the admit list to the funeral.
100%.
You know what I mean?
But my dad was saying, like, there were, like, once the Italy went to the Allies, it was like, okay, do you want to, like, cooperate with us, or are you still going to go for the Nazis? And I said, and it, like, 95% of the people were like, no, I'm with the Allies now. Obviously, I'm a child. I didn't want to do this. And I said to my dad, I was like, who sides with the Nazis? And he goes,
right.
Fascists. And I was like, you know what? That's accurate.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
We see it every day.
So 2 days after the crash, two of Davion's friends go to the police and give them some information.
Because, and this is good information.
And these kids all followed each other on that Life 360 app, so they were always, like, keeping tabs on one another.
This is a whole thing. Like, the kids who were even just, like, 10 years younger than me, they all do this. Like, my friend Matt is dating a guy who's, like, 10 years younger than him, and they, like, the friend has all of his friends' locations at all times.
Is
like,
it
they,
for safety?
I really, Matt and I have gone around and around and around. Okay. We don't know why they do it. I don't know. You think I want you knowing when I go to McDonald's? When I'm having my cheat day?
I would love that.
But like,
you know, I'm not the one
not
to hide McDonald's.
Or Kipton, like, would have something
or
to
something
say about
like
it.
Fun and like live your life.
I know. But I don't want like other people knowing.
I also, respectfully,
yeah,
would never be checking.
And that's the point.
I don't care.
Yeah. Totally.
Unless it's like, I'm going to this thing, I'm going to meet this person, I don't feel safe. Then I'm like glued to my phone. Because that has happened too. Like, friends have been like, I'm going to this place, I'm meeting this person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, drop me a pin, I'm
people calling
you forever.
They call it getting datelined. Like, they don't want to get datelined.
Right. So, you know? I will not let that happen. But, they are tracking Davion, and so they have all of this information.
Well, and the information is really important because it shows...
This is when they were going down Progress Drive.
Okay.
Like, it shows on this app, Davion was on his phone at 5:35.
Okay.
And it says that they crashed at 5:36.
Davion was using his phone at 5:35 a.m. and the crash happened at 5:36. These kids were not unconscious in the car.
No.
It's not like they were all passed out or something bad happened and the car just happened to crash into a wall.
No.
Like, they were awake when the crash happened.
And the friends are saying that we heard that the three people in the car were at a graduation party and that they were doing psychedelics.
Yes.
So Tim, the prosecutor, sends Mackenzie's blood out for testing to confirm this. And in the meantime, he finds tons of evidence on her phone that she was doing drugs on a daily basis.
And once again, bad as that is, that's kind of what we're hoping for here. We're hoping that these kids, that this horrible tragedy is the result of like an accident.
Right.
That they were, I mean, it would be horrendous for them to be driving under the, that would be all awful, awful, awful. But it's not murder.
And she was eating shrooms all the time. But more than that, she was smoking weed, the fattest blunts I've ever seen, on a regular basis, but while she's driving without wearing her seatbelt.
She's
not wearing her seatbelt in any one of these videos, but she was the crap.
She's constantly, quote, smacking the bong.
Yeah, she's, and like, these are all videos. Like, we see like a montage of her smoking blunts in the car, not looking at the road at all, not being a responsible driver.
Yep.
And then we cut to this enabler dad. He's like,
I knew she smoked dope. I don't have a problem with her smoking dope. I don't have a problem with me smoking. I don't have a problem with you smoking it. If you're going to take a drug, that's the one I believe you should take. You know, it's better than alcohol. It's better than all the other crap. You know, she's not shooting up.
She's not shooting up. And I'm like, right, she was driving while high.
Right, because he's dodging the point.
Right.
Because I was thinking about this too. Like, if I caught Daisy when she's older, 15, 16, 17, whatever the age is, like, smoking a little pot, like, of course I'm going to do the dad thing of like, you, like, but I would be better than hard drugs, better than like getting like hammered and, you know what I mean?
Take a gummy.
But the point is, he's dodging the question.
Right.
It's not that she was smoking the pot. It's that she was smoking pot and doing drugs and driving her car and posting about it on TikTok.
Right. Like, on Snapchat, like, is she bragging about it? Like, it's so clear that these parents let her do whatever she wanted and she never had any consequences for anything. And they're never going to admit that she did anything wrong.
Right.
This guy can't even say, totally wrong, she should not have been doing that. Instead, it's like, well, she's not shooting up. And I'm like, well, she fucking killed two people, though.
Exactly.
You and your stupid fucking shirt.
Rosie's back to tell us that they were the stoner cool kids.
Well, I just want to drop this in here because I will talk about it later, but I'm sure you saw this. After this doc came out, her father was put on administrative leave.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to do the after party because I want to know what that's all about.
Guess what he did for a living?
He was a teacher,
he was a middle school art teacher at a Catholic school.
Oh,
and the minute this came out, they were like,
Not at St. Francis Xavier of the Pious.
We're doing an investigation. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But Davion's parents did not have the same philosophy.
I mean, because like Davion's dad is saying that like...
Davion would say to us, all the kids are doing it, mom and dad. They're all smoking weed. Me and my wife, Jamie, pushed back on the narrative that weed is innocent, weed isn't addictive, weed's not a gateway drug, Dad.
And the dad is like, look, I think there's evidence to show that, like, pot actually, it can be addictive. But also that, like, when you just start smoking pot, and we're going to find out why Davion was smoking pot. Like, when you're doing it as a mental health coping mechanism, like, it can get out of control.
Well, yeah, there's a reason, like, it's legalized, but you still have to be 21, right?
Yes. Girl, Hiya is back. These are those delicious vitamins that come with a bottle you get to decorate that are actually, like, really good for the kids. It's not like candy in disguise.
Yeah, so these are kids' vitamins, not for adults. Unfortunately, because they're delicious and they give you stickers, right. But these are just for the kids.
No, some children's vitamins on the market today, fam, contain up to 7 grams of sugar per serving and are stuffed with artificial additives and petroleum-based dyes. So Hiya took the opposite approach, fam. Zero sugar, zero gummy additives, just clean nutrition.
Yeah, and talk about clean, non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free. They have thought of everything.
No, listen, too. Hiya has just launched something brand new. So if your kids are active and growing, adding in clean protein powder with added minerals designed just for kids might be exactly what they need.
Hiya's new Kids Daily Growth Plus Protein is a total game changer.
Yeah, it's more than just a protein shake. It's purity awakened. It's clean protein powder with added minerals and healthy fats that mixes right into water, smoothies, and more to support muscle development and cognition to fuel everything they've got going on. Daisy has it for breakfast like once or twice a week.
Delicious.
Yeah.
And the stickers.
And the stickers. So fam, we've worked out a special deal with Hiya.
Receive 50% off your first order on any of their products.
To claim this deal, you must go to HiyaHealth.com/TCO.
This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to HiyaHealth.com/TCO and get your kids the full body support they deserve.
Get it for them. You love them.
Love them.
Girl, Ladder is back. So this is a training plan for the gym, and I'm obsessed with it because, look, every one of us goes to the gym, we get ourselves there, and then we, like, have no idea what to do. This is where Ladder comes in.
Yeah, so instead of just, like, random workouts from YouTube or just, like, Instagram workouts with no results and no direction, Ladder gives you a real plan from an actual expert coach.
Yeah, you get a new plan every week that's built on the last one, and it feels like having a coach right there with you because the in-ear coaching guides you through every set with cues, form reminders and motivation. And, like, you know you're doing it right.
Yeah, and they have any kind of strength training that you prefer, like Pilates, bodybuilding, at-home dumbbells only, or hybrid strength, or, like, glute focus, or kettlebells, pre-postnatal. Like, whether you train at home or at the gym, they have a plan for you.
It's the summer. We've all seen Heated Rivalry. Get those glutes.
There you go.
Also, your progress is tracked automatically. So the app remembers your weights, your reps, and your sets, which is very important if you want to, like, continue to grow.
Yeah, this isn't just, like, a content library.
No.
It's an actual plan.
It's so good. So fam, remove the guesswork with Ladder and get a real coach in your ear telling you exactly what to do for every workout. No thinking, everything planned for you.
And if you have an iPhone, head to ladder.fit/TCO and take a quick quiz to find your perfect ladder plan.
Use our link to get a free 7-day trial with no credit card and $10 off your first month if you join.
I mean, I just love the options.
Yeah.
Give me options and then tell me what to do.
And no excuses anymore. You gotta just go.
Done. Davion was a football star, but 4 games into his senior season, he tore his ACL and UCL, and he was told, like, his football career is effectively over.
This guy was such a big football star that it's one of the first things the cops said on the scene. They recognized him as the football star.
He was like, this is a very unfortunate coincidence, this name, but Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Smash, like, this. There's a guy named Smash, and he was, like, the football player known around town.
Oh,
like,
wow.
One of the many, like, Tim Riggins, obviously, still my heart. But, like, he just reminded me of that kind of, like, and Smash gets injured too. But anyway, I saw, like, oh, like, he was known around town as, like, oh, shit.
The football star. And so when all of these injuries happen and they say that his career for college and beyond is over, his dad is saying that this is when he starts hanging out with a different crowd. This is when he starts smoking pot, doing other drugs. Yeah. I think he was also probably doing some of those psychedelic drugs. I think that Davion is coping.
And the crowd is Mackenzie and her friends.
Yes.
And so.
And that's why, further to your point from earlier, like, Davion is kind of a new person to this friend group.
Right. And so when Davion starts doing these drugs and missing curfew, his dad says to him, and I was like, slow down on that, repeat it a million times.
Yeah.
He'd come home late and I would say, show me your friends and I'll show you your future, Davion. Please stop.
He wasn't grounding him. He wasn't. And I think he was kind of like, I know this sucks.
I know.
I totally know this sucks. And I'm like, your senior year, what are you going to hang out with your football friends while they're all at practice? Like, I get wanting a new crowd because it's painful.
It's true, too. Like, this, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. I hung out with all the gay, weird drama kids in high school, and I hang out with all of them today.
Look at you now.
I did it, Mom.
So, text from Mackenzie's phone. She, Dom, and Davion went to a party, and she was texting Rosie about if the parents are going to be there because she says, is it cool to trip there? So, Tim...
Can I just say something?
Sure.
I just yesterday, 2 days ago, started talking to Daisy about drugs.
How so?
Because I was listening to an episode of The Daily where they were talking about all these, like, fentanyl used to be, like, the most terrifying thing in the world. Fentanyl is, like, nothing now.
What?
Fentanyl is,
since,
like,
when?
Well, according to The Daily, since, like 6 months ago.
What do you mean?
Like, there are synthetic drugs that are so much more potent than fentanyl now.
I was like, but it's still a problem.
Oh, it's horrible. No, it's not good. It's not good for you now.
No,
we're not going to start selling, girl, fentanyl is bad.
Like,
no.
What? It's still, like, a major issue, but there
horrible.
Are worse drugs,
but
than
way
fentanyl.
Worse that, like, you know. So I just started talking to Daisy about drugs, like, a couple days ago, and, like, I the idea that, like, my kid would have a party at my house when the parents aren't home. When I tell you right now, that will never fucking happen. I know you don't believe me, but
no,
I
don't not believe you.
It'll never fucking happen.
No,
and because we will talk to her about it. Like, we also have the best neighbors in the world. Like, it just will never happen.
I never said that she was going to throw parties behind your back.
No. I just know that you had the experience of growing up in New York with, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
that's
what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And when you start talking and communicating with your kids and you're not afraid of them and you're not trying to be their best friend,
uh-huh.
I just don't understand how parents are going away on graduation weekend
so that
there's, like, a parent-free house for these kids to have these kinds of crazy parties. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And it seems to be happening all the time with how they're talking so casually about, can I trip there? Yeah, no problem.
Right.
Or whatever.
No rules.
And Tim, the prosecutor, says, you know, as Mackenzie's, quote, best friend or number one soldier, however you want to call it.
Yeah.
Rosie.
Capo.
No, don't even.
Sorry.
She could never.
No.
She could never.
She couldn't hang.
Rosie could have helped out a lot. You know, she could have helped understand what was going on in Mackenzie's mind or what they were doing or whatever. And Rosie's here to be like, fuck that.
The police called to set up an interview. And I was like, I'm not doing it. People always say the police will, like, try to say crazy things, especially if you're, like, alone and you're a teenager. It doesn't seem like we're trying to figure out what happened in the accident. It seems like we're trying to track down the next drug dealers.
It seemed like they were trying to track down the next drug dealers.
No, this is
Rosie.
Such bullshit, because Rosie's only allegiance is to her fucking friend and not these two dead kids.
Who's telling, Mackenzie's ordering her what to do.
Yes, exactly.
Because, like, Mackenzie remembers.
Right, don't fucking talk. And Tim says to the documentary crew, he says, you have no idea how hard I tried to get her to talk to me, but it's good to hear that she talked to you guys. I'm fascinated to hear what she has to say.
Right.
And you know they gave her the unedited tape.
Sure. And, like, sorry, Tim, that's a burn, but I hate to disappoint you, because she talks a lot, but she doesn't really say anything.
Yeah, because her only loyalty is to Mackenzie. She's only here to do PR for Mackenzie.
And my thing is, too, like, hey, Rosie, don't you want to know what happened to your two alleged best friends and your third friend who was, like, deeply injured? Like, I don't understand. Why don't you want to know how this happened? Get a lawyer. Because what she says is, like, the cops try to use your words against you. Totally fair.
Yeah.
Get a lawyer. Help these three people, especially the two that have been killed.
Right.
And she has no interest. There's no empathy. There's no sympathy.
And
nothing.
It also just tells you everything you need to know about the kinds of people that these people are. Because if Rosie was at all interested in, like, getting to the bottom of what happened and getting, like, doing, like, preserving the memory of these dead kids, she would do the right thing. It's all about doing the right thing, even when it's uncomfortable. Like, we'll get to a point, I have so many notes about, like, if Daisy had done this, I would never stop loving her, but you do the right fucking thing, Rosie. You sit down and you tell them what was going on in your friend's mind, and you get to the bottom of this.
And even now, she's got an attitude.
I know.
Like, her tone is infuriating, because she's like, it wasn't a party, it was a sleepover. I brought a coloring book and colored pencils. And I'm like, girl, shut up.
Shut up!
This is like the Joey Merlino doc, when the guy's like, we don't talk about nothing illegal, we eat a pork chops Joey and say the rosary, and that's it. And
yes,
I'm like,
yes,
girl,
I know.
Are you kidding me? The text messages are right here.
The wholesomeness goes out the window with the fucking magic mushrooms, Rosie.
Like, and Bubba.
I know.
And Rosie are like, we watch shark documentaries?
Now, hang on a second.
Look.
I will watch a shark documentary until there are none left to watch.
Shark documentaries and deep conversations,
yes.
I've had that night.
Yes.
It's
yes.
a great one.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But that's not what this really was. And their whole thing is like, it was too late to do mushrooms. And
Kenzie didn't even smoke that night.
She was on, like, a smoke break because she was coughing up, like, black mucus in a way, or, like, bloody mucus, something. It was really bad.
She was banging the bong, so whatever, slapping the bang bong so hard, so often, she's got smoker's lung.
The blunts are the biggest, the fattest blunts that she's driving, and
I know
it's really unbelievable. But that's, I'm like, Jesus Christ, coughing up black and bloody mucus. So Mackenzie wasn't even smoking weed, you guys.
And by the way, that's a note to her fucking dad. This is the thing. You don't mind if she's smoking a little dope? She's not smoking a little dope. No, she's smoking all the dope.
Take a gummy. It's 2022.
Literally. We sell 20 of them.
What? God,
you know?
Idiots. But Rosie and Bubba really go out of their way.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful, magical night. Everyone went to bed at the wholesome hour at 3 a.m. Rosie makes a point to say there wasn't, and this is important, I think. She says there wasn't a single argument. There was not one moment of tension. There were no bad vibes. Why would there be, Rosie?
Right. What, exactly.
What are you saying?
Right.
I thought this was a bond that was unbreakable and magical and everything was perfect and puppies and rainbows and fucking shrooms.
She's literally got Mackenzie's script written on her hand. It was a magical night. There was
no
bad vibes.
What does that say?
No bad vibes.
Yeah.
No bad V-bays.
Yeah. Rosie. So 5:30 a.m., Mackenzie, Dom, and Davion leave. We never get a real explanation for why they left at 5:30 in the morning.
No.
It's a weird time.
It is a weird time. And then Bubba also says he was going to take Davion home, but at the last minute, Davion decided he was going to go with Dom and Mackenzie. We're going to learn that Davion was actually living with Dom and Mackenzie, so I guess that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, I just don't really believe anything Bubba and Rosie say, because I don't think they were that close with Davion.
What about the I love you story? You didn't believe that?
No.
Bubba says
I offered to take him home. Like, it was set that he was coming home with me, and then, like, last minute, he goes, you know what? I want to shower and maybe sleep for, like, a little bit. For some reason that morning, he gave me a hug, and he was like, I love you. And I was like, I love you too, bro. Very weird. It was the first time that we said we love each other for a while.
I'm just so, like, heartbroken for everything that happened. And I just, like, I really don't appreciate this disingenuous, we loved each other. I don't think you really did, because if you did, you'd be speaking the truth about what happened to him.
Right, yes.
And so I just don't appreciate this bullshit. And thank God we have Davion's dad and sister to really speak for him in, like, the real way.
Yeah.
But, like, but shut up, Bubba.
Well, also, Bubba. Tim says that starting at 5:30 a.m., this is the point where they leave the house, and then Mackenzie immediately goes into a black hole.
Yeah,
remember,
she
remembered waking up, she remembered leaving, and that's all she can remember.
Now we get the video evidence, and I just want to call this out.
Holy fucking shit.
We see it, we hear it. I really wish we didn't. It is incredibly upsetting. Just a warning, if you have not seen this, this is horrible.
Let me give a counter to that, because we don't actually see the crash. We see the moment right before the crash. I do think it's kind of important.
I know.
It is kind of important to see, like, I mean, the absolute fucking violence with which this car was being driven.
Yeah. So we meet Trooper Elliot. He's a crash reconstruction trooper. And I'm like, dazzle me, Elliot. What the hell happened?
Yeah.
And he says, Trooper Elliot says the car was flying down the road.
But before that, though, they get, because what Trooper Elliot has done is he's gotten surveillance video from a couple of intersections.
Yeah.
The thing that I woke up thinking about this morning before I even started taking my notes was that, like, literally half a mile before we see her, like, a bat out of hell, she's like, they're listening to the Indigo Girls. She puts on her blinker. She's going 15 miles an hour, yeah, driving like a proper citizen.
Yeah.
Like, the blinker is what gets me.
Yeah.
The fucking, like, there's
around
nobody on the road at 5:30 in the morning, but
no.
Mackenzie still puts on her blinker like a good driver.
Yeah. But until,
as it traveled west for nearly a half mile, there was a slight bend where the second piece of video evidence comes from. Based on my calculations, the Toyota averaged approximately 97.8 mile per hour through this stretch right here.
She's flying down the road at 97.8 miles per hour.
It is unbelievable to watch.
She's driving the car. It looks like it's sped up. She's driving so fast. And the sound.
Yeah.
Is so awful, and then there's silence.
Yes.
And it is the most, I mean, it's very jarring and very unsettling.
Yeah.
And what's even, like, that's the other thing that's chilling is that, like, she was very in control of the car before this. She was taking turns, like, very controlled turns.
Yes. I mean, like, she's driving like a model citizen. She's driving like she teaches driver's ed.
Until she's not.
Yeah.
And then, like, the talk screen comes back. No alcohol, no shrooms, and, like, a teeny tiny bit of THC. And we know she was always driving under the influence, so it doesn't really count as her being wasted.
And, like, this is a really big moment for Tim, because he's saying, like, wait a second. If we know that she was driving high all the time, and there was a little bit of THC in her system, system. So that to him does not count as driving impaired.
Right.
There's no, none of the psilocybin mushrooms are in her system anywhere. And to Tim, and I think to the rest of the world, except for Rosie, this tells us Mackenzie did this on purpose.
And her dumb parents.
She was, and her parents. She was well aware of what she was doing. This is a murder.
Yeah, my foot stays firmly on their necks, her parents. I'm never going to let you
Where's
forget
Kendra?
About everything.
Where's Kendra?
Oh, don't worry. She's there too. I got two feet, girl. Are you fucking kidding me? Don't worry. One wrong, two, wait, what is it? Two wrong feet and fucking ugly shoes?
Yeah, yes.
But that's not me.
Girl, salt and stoner's back. You literally just said, I love how these smell. Tell us everything.
I love how these smell. So this is deodorant.
Yes.
And it's so amazing because it can also kind of replace your perfume. Like, I saw my friend Eric the other day. He was like, did you just come from a spa or a fancy hotel lobby? I'm like, no, girl. I'm wearing my Santal salt and stone. You know why? Because it has vetiver in it. And I love vetiver.
And listen, if you don't know exactly what you want to be fancy, they've got a discovery set. So the best way to try salt and stone, each set includes four scents. It's the perfect way to explore and find your signature scent.
Yeah. Yeah, they have Santal, bergamot, saffron, neroli, delicious, luxurious.
This deodorant is award-winning, aluminum-free, and formulated for 48-hour protection.
Yeah, they sell one deodorant every 5 seconds.
Salt and Stone.
Are you kidding?
So fam, try Salt and Stone's discovery set to find your signature scent.
Go to saltandstone.com/TCO and use code TCO at checkout for 15% off your first order.
That's saltandstone.com/TCO and use code TCO for 15% off your first order. You're going to thank us.
I love it. You're going to smell and feel so luxurious.
Truly.
So what caused the crash?
Was something tampered with? Or did the car malfunction in some way? The police did observe a fuzzy Prada slipper that appeared to be stuck to the floorboard next to the accelerator pedal. Had that contributed to the crash?
The cops found a fuzzy Prada slipper that was stuck to the floorboard next to the pedal. Did this contribute to the crash? Also, can we get a grip? Fuzzy Prada slipper?
And you don't drive in slippers. It's against the law.
I was like, what are we doing driving in slippers?
You can't
don't
drive
do
in slippers.
That.
You can't drive in flip-flops. It's against the law. You can't drive in bare feet. You got to wear proper fucking shoes.
Thank you.
Yes.
No shoes, no service.
No shoes, no. And like the slipper, it's just, it is
like
exactly
a fuzzy
like.
Slipper.
It tells you everything.
Yeah.
And you know that he bought that for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
She also had like a fuzzy, that thing that you put around your steering wheel
oh,
and it's all
God.
Like pink and fuzzy. If you have that and it looks super cute in your car,
sure.
I love it. But it just adds
If you
to
didn't
the,
kill anybody today, we're not mad at you.
It just adds to like, yeah, right? She, except if you're Kendra, she didn't kill anyone.
And you know she's got that fuzzy thing around
she
her.
She should spirit. Be on the registry. So, but it just adds to her like, I feel like she doesn't have a good grip on anything. She's stoned all the time.
No.
Like, it's she's
the,
just a fucking
the
mess.
The Prada slipper, it just, it's
the fuzzy Prada slipper.
Horrible.
So 2 days after the crash, everyone is like terrified and sad and confused.
The
and
town is at a standstill.
Like,
everyone is mourning. It is the saddest time to be alive in this town in Ohio.
Meanwhile, some brand is commenting on Mackenzie's Instagram asking to do a collaboration. Now, like the brand doesn't know
right.
anything that happened. They're just
yes.
reaching out or whatever.
Yeah.
So Mackenzie's mother gets on Instagram and responds.
Thank you for this amazing opportunity. She would love if you would use that. She's actually been trying to contact you guys for PR email. It was a tragic accident. This is just as painful for her as it is for everybody else. Or maybe even a little more painful.
Maybe even a little bit more painful.
It is Davion's dad reading us this post, like the look of just absolute shock on his face. Then Mackenzie responds.
To make it worse.
She writes, thanks for the comment. I would love to work with you. I've been emailing you guys a lot. Such a great opportunity. Thank you. Her boyfriend is dead.
And her friend, her best friend, Davion. So she just crashed a car in the way that every first responder is like horrified. They've
yes.
never seen anything like it. They're all in therapy for seeing this. And I'm not making a joke.
No.
When you see it, the car, I've never seen anything like it in my life. She killed two of her friends. One is supposedly the love of her life.
Yes.
And this is what she's doing?
And like, meanwhile, remember, she's got a broken rib. She's got three broken ribs, a broken wrist, a broken... Like,
not enough.
Her, like, with her phone from her fucking neck brace.
I want to see those medical records. I don't believe that idiot father.
I know.
But Davion's dad says perfectly, she just does not get the anguish that she's caused. And neither do her parents. What is wrong with her mother?
I know.
Checking her Instagram for DMs about collabs.
It's unbelievable.
2 days.
Not even DMs. These are public comments that anybody can read.
Like, your mother is reading your Instagram comments when you should be in mourning because the love of your life and your friend Davion and you were behind the wheel?
Well, the mother's reading the comments because she's on the clock working for her kid.
Of course, 100%.
You don't get a bereavement day, Mom. Get to my DMs.
Yeah, like, no, no. And you're not getting overtime payment either.
No.
Like, the tragedy of all of it. Any normal person...
Yeah.
Would be completely, like, beside themselves. Like, it is surreal, like, not knowing what's real or what's not. You've been in such pain from these injuries.
Yes.
But meanwhile, you're like...
You were just... Remember the guttural scream you just did 48 hours ago when you found out that you killed your boyfriend?
Bad acting.
Bad acting.
She's as good of an actor as Rosie is a model in Pilates instructor. Sorry.
Rosie.
I'm not sorry. Fuck Rosie. So, no. Davion's sister, Divine, is here too. And I, every once in a while, they drop her in here to say something that I just love so much. She's like,
I got a DM on Instagram from Mackenzie. She said, basically, I'm sorry. Davion was like a brother to me. It was all an accident. I didn't mean to. She wanted to get her peace out of it. And at the end of the day, I didn't feel like I needed to respond to someone who killed my brother.
It was just for her to feel better. But Divine also says, I didn't feel like I needed to respond to the person who killed my brother.
I know.
Hell yes, Divine. And so, yes, the thing about Mackenzie, she was a complete and total mean girl, full stop. And, like, Divine knew this and told her brother.
And also, now we get, like, Tim, the DA, being like, by the way, her high school record was full of instances of disrespect to teachers and fellow students. And he says, you get the sense that there was just a total lack of parental oversight.
And, like, her TikToks are insufferable. She's like, please go fucking kill yourself. Go die, bitch. And like, you know what I'm not thinking when I see any of her social media? Wow, what a mature person she is.
She should be a model.
And live with her boyfriend and be an adult at 17 years old.
I know.
Shut up, Steve the dad. Like, some of the comments are like, yeah, this is the girl who told me to kill myself and go throw up over a toilet. She bullied both of my sisters through Instagram DMs. She was so mean to my friends and I for no reason.
Can I tell you one thing?
What?
If I looked at Daisy's Instagram and I saw her commenting shit like that
on
other people's posts, it would be homeschool. I'd be like, Jillian, I love you. You have to do this with somebody else because I'm a full-time homeschool teacher now.
I'd be like, step aside. Let me. I just want to talk to
sorry,
Daisy. I just want to talk to Daisy for two seconds.
Jillian's going to need to see you in a closet for 5 minutes alone.
Like, we don't do that, Daisy. Anybody. We don't fucking do that
you
shit.
You imagine your child.
No.
My worst fear in life was always my kid being a bully. I cannot imagine a world in which these parents live and they know that their kid is out there. Not once, not on somebody like to get, not like not on a thing that with a person they have a beef with, on like punching down to kids who this could be the thing that makes them actually go kill themselves.
Yeah.
The complete abdication of raising your child and preparing them for the world.
Yeah. Like, there's something about Mackenzie. If there is such a strong darkness coming from her, if you've ever known someone like this in real life, I'm not talking about your parasocial, some celebrity didn't react the way that you wanted them to about something. I'm talking about someone that you actually know.
Yeah.
Then you spotted,
I'm looking at you, Sarah McLachlan.
Then you spotted it right away.
Yes.
And I'll never forgive you for those ASPCA commercials.
You know what? She's actually very sorry.
I know she is.
I've seen those videos.
She's like, oh my God.
She's like, I had no idea.
But when you have met someone like this or have been around someone like this, you can clock it immediately. The minute I saw her.
Can you think of an example?
Sure.
It's diabolical is the word.
It is diabolical.
Yeah.
I forget their names, actually. They're so meaningless. And there's also documented proof. So she's verbally assaulting both teachers and students. Teachers are begging to have her removed from their classroom because she's such a nightmare, and she's attacking people and then filming the attacks and putting it online. Her parents follow her.
So then her dad tells a story about...
There was an incident that happened. They suspended her for the last day of school. I had to get off work and come get her. And I walked in, I looked at my daughter, and she's sobbing. And I go, did you do it? She looked at me and goes, no. And I know when my daughter lies. I go, good enough for me. Let's go. And I walked her out.
Good enough for me. I know when my daughter lies.
I was appalled. Every single time they're on screen, it gets worse and worse. Like, the parents are, you are trash,
but
Natalie and Steve, Shirella, and they are trash and they raised a trash little bitch of a daughter.
And I say this as a parent, I'm so glad that we live in a world where parents are now being held accountable sometimes for their kids.
Hi, Kendra. Don't forget about your girl.
But like, these parents should be put on trial. It is not hard. Unless your kid is a total sociopath, and in which case, there are still things you must,
get her help.
Must do. It is really not that hard to start talking to your kids when they're young about being nice, about doing the right thing, about making the right choices.
Right.
Because when you do that, the kids actually want to do that.
Yeah.
They actually want to be kind. They actually want to lift other people up. We would not be here if they had had one conversation with her like this when she was 10.
What kind of spineless coward are you that a 17-year-old, 15, 16, 17, runs the show? And it is a tyrant, violent, chaotic, angry. Like, you're scared of her? What kind of, like, spineless piece of shit are you?
And also,
you're not a parent.
They want us to think it's cool. Like, it's another one of those parents where they are so over the moon that their kid's the popular kid.
Because what cost?
They think it says something about them. There's something deeply missing in them.
Oh, it says something about them, all right.
Yes.
I mean, she never had any boundaries, zero consequences.
No.
She's always the victim. She's always their perfect little baby gorgeous. And like, no. And this is what Tim, the prosecutor, says. Mackenzie got in trouble so often at school, documented. There are police reports from middle school,
yes,
girl, that I found. Tim, the prosecutor, is like, she would walk away from these incidents with more freedom,
yes,
fewer consequences, and her actions being totally excused.
The mom says,
but she wasn't a bad kid. She didn't really need to be disciplined a whole lot. You know, she, I mean, her worst is her mouth.
Wasn't that bad. It was just her mouth.
Which is insane to say, especially when Mackenzie is very publicly speaking about all the illegal things she's doing.
Yeah.
You can go fuck yourself. Leave my story. We let all of you little underage fucks inside our beautiful home to do illegal things. Number one, sweetheart, you're also underage.
Yeah.
Number two, this isn't Euphoria, show where everyone's miserable anyway.
Right.
And three, her parents 10,000% knew about the illegal shit. You will never convince me otherwise.
Of course they did.
Never. Like, who does she think she is with these awful fake lashes?
Oh my God. Is there booze in this? No, why do you want some? I'd rather have you drink it here. You
like,
know what I mean?
Times a zillion.
Yeah.
Even like Parker Posey from Dazed and Confused would be like, damn girl, chill out.
I know.
Like, calm
down. Air raid
freshman
bitches.
Like, even she would be like, can we chill?
She'd be like, Mackenzie, no!
Mackenzie, no!
No!
Also, and another thing. The fact
and that Kendra.
The fact that the parents, like, feel like this was all their idea, you were bullied by your own child.
Yes.
She trained you.
Yes, yes.
To act this way. Don't act like you just did this because, like, even if you did, that would also be bad enough, but, like, she rules the roost around here.
Yes.
You're doing this because you're scared of her, even from prison. She's like John fucking Gotti, still controlling the show.
No, totally.
It's crazy.
But so then we get back the results from the forensic auto investigator. This is major.
Yeah.
This is the ball game.
Yep.
They're dealing with the car, the forensics, the inside of the car, the funmotainment system or whatever.
Yeah, they're trying to see if there was a malfunction or not.
And that expert determined that the braking, the steering, the tires, the acceleration were working properly. The car didn't malfunction.
The car was not malfunctioning.
And the fuzzy Prada slipper is innocent.
Yes.
Played no part in this.
Played no part. Ugly as it is.
The car did not malfunction. So to recap, Mackenzie was not wasted. And the car did not malfunction. So what does that leave us with?
Exactly.
Rosie.
So now they need information from the event data recorder. Once again, the funmotainment.
Yeah, it's the
I'll never stop saying it.
Yeah.
Since we learned it in that one documentary.
Yeah, like,
I gotta get the funmotainment
box.
Okay.
it's the black box in a car. So,
yeah,
like, it records technical information of the car for a very brief period of time, like before, during, and after the crash, to see what was going on when it was happening.
It's for insurance purposes, I'm sure.
Right. So we have, like, 5 seconds of the pre-crash data.
Which is all we need because she was going 100 miles an hour.
But for those entire 5 seconds, she was at 100% acceleration, meaning the pedal was pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
Really, like 100%
now,
all the way down.
Have you ever, I know you're not much of a driver, have you ever actually driven a car and put the pedal all the way to the ground?
I've played Cruisin' USA in an arcade and put my pedal to the metal.
If you,
but no, I've never, for what reason would I do that?
Well,
I'd crash.
I've done it like weirdly on the highway once, like just to like, not very safely. I'm a very, very, very safe driver. But there are moments you actually do need to do that.
No, I've never done that.
It is hard to do. It is hard to push the pedal all the way. And I've got some pretty, I'm 8 times Mackenzie's size. To push the pedal all the way to the floor and then hold it there for 5 seconds, that's
hard. It's a long time.
Your car is not designed to let you do that.
No. No.
It took work. This took effort. This was done on purpose.
And remember, no skid marks anywhere. Right. So she didn't
even... Oh, you said it again.
I'm sorry. But she didn't even take her foot off the gas, like no. Nothing. So the heartbreaking thing also is that it appears that Dom and Davion were doing everything they could to avoid crashing into the building.
The data shows that around 3 seconds before the impact, there was some steering input, right movement, left movement, and then the hard right movement. It shifted from drive into neutral, back into drive again.
I think the boys were trying to save their life. I think Dominic and Davion were yanking on the wheel, grabbing at the gear shift, and it was just too late.
It seems like she was fighting them.
This is why I think they weren't wearing seatbelts. I think that as they were accelerating and they realized what she was doing, they must have taken their seatbelts off to fucking right. try to stop her.
Which is why Davion ended up on top of right. Dom.
Because
I
he
think
was leaning through.
They were trying to, like, yes. That is, and Tom the prosecutor says it, it is a harrowing last yeah. few seconds of someone like it's and so like then when you learn when you see the car and the condition of the car and when you see this information and then you see like TikToks and like fake crying on Instagram yeah. and I'll do a collab, it's like, oh my God.
I'm a little bit stuck on the seatbelt, and tell me if I'm wrong, because I think even for these like young, they weren't young kids, they were young adults, like I think that we now, I think it's an instinct, you get into a car and you put on your seatbelt. I think everybody does it. Am I wrong?
I most certainly do.
I think everybody did. There was a time that we didn't do that. Like, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. We didn't do it then.
My mom told me stories of my grandmother driving around with my mom's youngest brother, and he was just, like, stand... Because they had just... Oh, yeah. They didn't have seats. They had, like, the full,
oh, sure.
like, love seat or whatever
yeah,
in the
yeah,
car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just, like, there weren't... Like, there were no seatbelts, and he was just, like, standing yeah. up as a little baby, like, yeah. and doing the arm move.
Yeah, totally.
Or whatever, the stop short arm move, and, like, okay.
My friend Mike Terrell does that to me at intersections when we're walking.
Oh, my God.
He does it like we'll be walking and he puts his arm yeah. out. I'm like, well, I wasn't even moving.
Can I tell you a joke that Ashley and I have been telling each other since we were like 13 years old?
Please.
We were walking across, I don't know, we were on 86th Street going to get pizza or whatever, and it was snowy and it was, you know, that slush in New York. Yeah. And I went to walk and she did the like the arm move because we were just like such best friends right away. But she said, watch the slush. But she said it in a way that was kind of like, watch the slush. So it, over the years, it's become watch the slush. And so if it's ever snowing, we'll text each other, watch the slush. But like it was that arm move. And I was like, oh, like, thanks, bestie.
It's funny the thing about my friend Mike, because he doesn't have kids. So I don't know where that instinct comes from.
Yeah, actually, we were 13 years old, so no kids.
The thing is, Mike is so tall. Yeah. He's like 6'7 or something. I think that it must be the expectation that he's always going to be the safest person in the room.
Aww.
So he's got to always have arms for everybody.
Yeah.
I'll just never forget when it was like recently, we were walking like in Times Square. We got to it and he just put his arm out.
I love that.
It's like the cutest thing. It's so cute. Funny.
But also, like, even when you get into a ride share now, they yes. ask you, like, confirm that you put your seatbelt on.
I think it's an instinct. I think, like, and it makes it even sadder for me that, like, if they had just let this crazy woman do what she was going to do, yeah. maybe they would have lived.
And why was hers on when it never was in any of her many hundreds of videos?
So then fuck me, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe,
no, I don't know.
Maybe it's not. I just imagine it's, I've never gotten into a car in like the last 20 years where everybody hasn't just immediately put their seatbelt
on. No, I'm a big seatbelt person.
Yeah.
Big time. Tom, the prosecutor, is like, well, all the evidence tells him that it's not an accident. And I'm like, I don't understand how you can see it any other way.
No, and then we start to get more interviews with the friends. And the police are interviewing everybody. One friend of Dominic's, like, comes in and he's like...
We were in this candy shop and this was after they had gotten over arguing and everything like that. She was like, either buy me something or shut the fuck up. She always threatened and was disrespectful to Dom in my eyes.
Why did Dom put up with this? Do you know?
I've personally been told that she did voodoo on him.
She was the most controlling. This relationship was awful.
Yeah.
She was always screaming at him. She only wanted him because he bought her things. Like, it was awful. She told him that she did voodoo on him to make him love her.
Like, it was, not surprisingly, a very toxic
yes.
relationship. And she was threatening him a lot. And, like,
but
you know.
But my question about, like, the toxic relationship thing is, like, is it toxic if it's not being put back on her?
Well, I think, I was going to say this later, but it may be confusing to some of you because Dominic's not a woman, but this is what she's doing to him is abuse. And
yes.
we'll get into it more.
Yes.
For
yes.
sure. And
yes.
we know Dominic was trying to leave her. And as we know, that's the most dangerous time for someone in a situation like this.
Like truly. So, that's what happened to him.
That's what happens. So the texts tell the whole messy affair. In love one day, fighting the next. There was
yeah.
cheating, the works. And so Dom's family tells us how he made all of his money. And yeah, it was through stocks and cryptocurrency.
He was going to open a vape shop, girl.
And also start a clothing line.
He just had it. He had it. He was going to, whatever, Dom was going to be successful. He like was out in the world. He was living alone. He was making money. Everybody here says he was making money.
Yeah. Drugs were also being a form of income.
I mean, they found like a scale in the car.
Yeah. And the amount of drugs that is documented that Mackenzie's using and they live together. I don't know. It doesn't matter one way or the other. It's like not, you know, a character assassination thing. I don't give a shit. But like
if he was selling drugs and that's one of the ways he was making money, her parents knew that.
100%.
And didn't care because their Pretty Little Princess was getting Prada slippers.
Right. And their Pretty Little Princess is like doing this performative grief, posting TikToks of herself sobbing at memorial sites. And
who's
like,
the guy? Is it Dom's dad that takes the Ouija board to the gravesite and communicates directly with Dom?
I think it's Davion's dad.
I think. Oh my God.
Yeah.
They're at a gravesite with a Ouija board talking directly to Dom.
And she's like, shut up. Like, not the parents. The parents are going through and doing whatever, but like, she's so full of shit. And it's like, oh, did it happen if it wasn't fucking recorded and put on TikTok? Can't you just grieve and be and like heal from all of your many injuries that I would love to see the medical records because I don't believe them?
I know.
But then also, maybe I'm an asshole because like, how does she not have all those injuries when you see the car?
I don't know. I'm stuck on the Ouija board. Do those things work?
I don't know.
Oh, God.
So September 2022, Dominic's brother Angelo has entered the chat and he meets with detectives. And Angelo says,
Dom tried to break up with her multiple times, even in July. I kept not like working out, whatever. They kept making back up. Dom would have to call Kenzie's parents, call her mom and stuff and say, hey, you need to come get Kenzie out of here. Like, she's refusing to leave my house. She's being crazy.
Dom was actually calling her parents, begging them to come pick up their little bitch of a daughter.
I know.
And Angelo makes it very, very clear that Dominic was trying to leave Mackenzie. Again,
and that Mackenzie made it clear that she would never allow that. And if he ever did, she would kill herself.
And Angelo says there are two types of love. One, when you love someone unconditionally. And two, when you love in a way that's selfish and restricted when you want the person all to yourself. And he says that was Mackenzie with Dom. And I thought that was interesting because he doesn't say Mackenzie and Dom.
Yeah.
He said that was Mackenzie with Dom.
Well, and also we see texts from her to him that says, I told you it's my way or the highway. I would watch your back from now on and your house and your car and your life and any of your friends. If that were a text that, if it were the other way around, if that came from him, like it would be like full restraining order city.
His response is, Kenzie, this isn't right and you know it.
Yes.
He's like begging her to be reasonable and not threaten him anymore.
What you said a minute ago is so on point that like he was leaving her and we know that we just never think of it in terms of, because obviously 99.9% of the time it happens to women.
Yeah.
But this is the situation that he was in. She was doing all the insane, crazy shit that like abusive murderers do. And then she fucking killed him.
And we'll get like, for example, 2 weeks before the crash, Dominic calls his mom. He is in the car with Mackenzie when he calls her and he tells her she's driving like a fucking maniac. It's super dangerous. I need your help. His mother says Christopher Hench Martin.
Yeah.
I have no idea who he is, but it's clear that he's the guy you call when you want shit, when
not
shit goes bad.
The lead singer of Coldplay, as far as I can tell.
No. Hench.
I know.
He's the
henchman.
The guy you call when shit goes bad.
Yeah, yeah. The only reason we get his middle name is because it's Hench.
100%.
And you know they call him the henchman.
And
you know they do.
You got to get a guy like that.
You need a hench.
You need someone in your life to be like,
hey, his name is Mike Torelli. 6'9".
Shit's going down.
Puts his arm in front of you at an intersection.
Like, go find my son on the highway
because
Mackenzie's driving like a maniac. That's what happened. So this guy tells police Dominic needed help.
And I called him. I said, well, where are you at? She says she'll crash his car right now.
You heard her say that? Okay.
So we had a witness who had heard her say those words. Mackenzie had threatened to crash a car with Dominic 2 weeks before she did. In criminal cases, we call that prior calculation.
He could hear Mackenzie threatening to crash the car, which is also abuse, everybody. Like, driving erratically to scare your partner, that's abuse.
I mean, the technicality of, like, her being the person in the driver's seat and giving her the ability to kill them all in a way that the other guys can't stop her. Just by having access to the gas pedal that they don't have.
Power and
control.
That they
can't get to her.
She loves that shit.
Crazy.
It's crazy. And, like, this is when Tom, the prosecutor, also says, like, this proves that she had what he calls a prior calculation.
Yeah.
Because she she's been threatening to crash in text. She now did it. We have a witness. And then she did crash the car.
Yes.
So there you go.
So now, like, they're moving in for an arrest. They remind us the evidence they have, 100% gas pedal in the seconds before the crash, no attempt at using the brake. The car did not fail. She wasn't on mind-altering substances, and they were in an incredibly toxic relationship.
With documented threats and witness and a witness to the car crash.
Yes.
Threat. What is the alternative?
He says, we were left with no reasonable alternative but to say that she did it on purpose.
So, November, Mackenzie's arrested. She's charged with aggravated murder times two, and she's being tried as an adult.
Can I tell you, we see the body cam footage of them arresting her. My favorite thing in the world is like the wee-oo, wee-oo. They pull her over. She's recording the whole thing. They walk right up to her and rip that phone out of her fucking hand.
Well, 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 if it isn't the consequences of her own actions.
I know. It's amazing to see them rip that phone out of her
hand. And then that enabler dad is like, did they really need to do that? Yes, they did.
They did?
Yes, they did.
Oh, my God.
Because she's in a car.
Yes.
High, probably.
Yeah.
So, but then Mackenzie sits down for the documentary.
So this is like a kind of an amazing moment because we're like, all of a sudden it cuts to like a room. It's like there's nobody in the shot and Mackenzie walks in and I screamed.
Here's the thing about Mackenzie. She comes in with this stupid bun on her hair. If you haven't gathered, Mackenzie's white and it's very clear that based on her appearance and the way that she is now speaking, let's just say that there is lots of cultural appropriation happening.
Yeah.
And that's all I'll say. Yeah. She is very much not, you know, we see the videos of her and she's made some friends.
Yes.
And she is appropriating at least like 2 to 3 cultures that are not hers. And she's like a skinny white girl. That's all.
Are we going to talk about the bun? Because the bun is its own.
An abomination.
It is an
abomination.
It's an abomination. It's an abomination.
Abomination.
I love a top knot. Lord knows. Yeah. And like sometimes I actually think if I ever went to prison, I would have to grow my hair out so I had something to do. You know what I mean? Because I'd be that guy that you love from TikTok who does the hair stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We got at the Webby Awards.
Yeah.
I would be him just like playing with my hair, doing the updos and the top knots and the whatevers. Yeah. I'd be doing the false prophet hair from the 1820s.
Right. You know what I mean? Like learn how to
do
it. But yeah, I think when you say top knot, you sort of love the messy bun, like kind of
like
thrown
doing
up.
Shit.
You know, like me looking for DNA online. You know,
at
like
3 in the morning.
Right? Like, just get your hair out of your face. Like, fuck it.
Get this glorious mop out of my face.
Let me tell you, if you know, you know, those of us with long hair, when you have nowhere to go, you have the best messy bun.
Oh, yeah.
The best ponytail.
Yeah.
Bangs are in place, and you got nowhere to go,
and
no one's going to see it when you actually have to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. Hours. Your arms are hurting.
Yeah.
You're doing it 10 times. You want to kill yourself.
But when
no one's here
and
you're like cleaning the house or doing your laundry or doing whatever.
You catch a glimpse of yourself in the mirror.
And I'm like,
you're like, this bitch is on fire.
I'm like Pamela Anderson in 1998 with the perfect little like tendril. Yep. And I'm like, since when?
I
wasn't even in the mirror.
You have to throw
a
party.
I just threw it up.
You got to invite people over.
Like, oh my God, get over here.
I know.
Like, should I take a selfie? When's the last time I took a fucking selfie? 10 years ago. Anyway, she's here to tell, quote, her side of the story with her cultural appropriation, with her brand new voice. Well, first she poses for the camera. Did
she
you see
does.
That?
Yeah. I mean, it's your moment. It's your time to shine, girl. So she says that
we would have probably been married by now. He was just so protective and loving over me. I wanted to just heal him and he wanted to heal me. We were partners. We just took care of each other.
They wanted to heal each other. I took a lot of offense to that.
I did too. Their relationship was rocky, but good. They were just two kids in love. And then she denies having any rage or anger ever. And then she blames Dom for, quote, not having good communication skills. And then in the same breath, she distances herself from Davion.
Yes.
Davion was more Dom's friend, and they only got close a few weeks before the crash, but he was still a good person. Bullshit.
Yeah.
She's bullshit.
She's bullshit, of course. And she tells us what we have already heard. All she remembers, 5 a.m., they woke up at that party. They decided to go back to Don's house. She remembers turning down the street. Then she remembers waking up in the hospital the next day. The producer's like, so a lot of people say that the amnesia is pretty convenient.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, what am I going to do? I'm not going to like make up a story just because people want me to remember. I just don't remember.
Well, that's what you did.
Yeah.
Then she goes, I was the driver of a tragedy, but I'm not a murderer. I was like, Dom's the one with poor communication skills. Say that sentence again. I was the driver of a tragedy.
Yeah, because look, we'll get to the trial in a second. She's never getting out. I think that she's angling for her parole hearing, which is going to be in 2037.
Not intelligent people.
Yes.
She should. I mean, she has no idea.
She's trying to do that thing where she can take accountability so she can show that, like, she was the driver, so therefore she's responsible. But she's going to go on forever and ever with that. This was unintentional, yeah. And she doesn't know
she's
what
a victim.
Happened.
And Divine, Davion's sister, had it right from the beginning. Everything she says is for her. The non-apologies, yes. The excuses, it's all for her.
Yes.
So August 7th, 2023, the trial. It's a bench trial. That was her choice. No jury.
Now, that's the whole thing. And I've met a lot of people out in the world because I always say I would want a bench trial. So the bench trial is like just the judge decides or the jury trial where the jury decides. And I'm like, well, the judge knows the law. So if I didn't do it, I want a bench trial because then you're not like, you know, there's not like six Patricks over there, you know, like thinking about whatever else and not paying attention. But people always tell me that like, no, a jury trial is the way to go.
Because there could be one holdout. Yeah. There could be one sympathetic ear or whatever. I don't know how anyone would feel sympathy for her at all, but like, I think no matter what happened.
But like, you never know. Like, you could get somebody on the, like, who like, is like a fangirl or who, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess.
Somebody who just like wants Mackenzie to like her.
Rosie.
Yeah.
So the charges are now.
Shirilla is now facing murder, felonious assault, and aggravated vehicular homicide charges.
Good luck proving it. There's what proof?
Yeah.
What proof? What proof do you have? What proof do they have to any of this?
And the parents are like, good luck proving it. I hate them.
I
hate them.
No.
So the defense is Mackenzie didn't do anything wrong. And the only proof is that she doesn't remember anything. How could she do something wrong if she doesn't remember it?
I mean, the other thing, too, is that they show the video of the crash in court. And all the families are there.
That sound.
And
God.
We see Dom's family see the video in real time.
Yeah.
And like, I can't, it's the kind of thing where if something like this happened to Daisy, I think I would want to know everything, but you don't want to, like, how do you decide?
It's the fear, like, if you see it, at least you're not imagining it, but now you have something to replay for all
for
eternity.
For the rest of your life. And it is, I cannot tell you, if you haven't seen this documentary, the violence with which this car is being driven, it is, that's the only word I can use.
And then the prosecution's like, to the contrary, again, all the evidence they have, the video, the 100% acceleration, no brake, no car malfunctions, the boys tried to stop the crash, says the data, the toxic relationship, the witness to the car threat, all of this.
But this is also news to the families. Like, the families did not know any of this because we learned that Mom's sister and dad are sitting with Mackenzie's family on day one. They are still, they're like, they were all fucked up. Mistakes happen, whatever. We can forgive you and move on. When they learn that there's no way for this to have happened other than Mackenzie not having been fucked up and doing it on purpose, like, that's the moment that they learn.
The ultimate betrayal.
That's the moment that they're like, oh my God, she did this.
So now the question is, was this a murder or suicide gone wrong? Now her enabling friends are going to say, no.
I would never, ever see her purposely wanting to hurt herself. Say that is, and she's so sad, like mentally, I don't think that's the way to do it.
Kenzie loves herself a lot. She wouldn't even have a McChicken with me at McDonald's because she cared so much about her own health.
She wouldn't even eat a McChicken from McDonald's. First of all, your girl has an eating disorder, Faith.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yes.
Two.
Number two, McChickens are like maybe the best thing on the menu.
Fine. Three, I disagree, but fine.
Okay.
What about taking shrooms regularly and coughing up black, bloody mucus from smoking so much? Yes, Faith, she is the picture of health.
So health conscious.
You fucking idiot.
And her parents knew, by the way. Her dad was no problem with her smoking dope, was watching her with fucking, like, cave lung or whatever they call it.
She wouldn't even eat a McChicken.
Oh, my God.
I was like, may that haunt you for the rest of your life, Faith.
I could literally eat four of them right now.
Like, was it worth it, Faith?
I know. I know.
Now you're known as, like, McChicken girl.
I know.
Idiot.
I know.
And so the filmmaker asked Mackenzie, fine. Let's say you don't remember anything.
For the sake of the bit.
What do you think happened? And she just says,
this is the most prepared line she's had.
A medical emergency.
She goes, through the evidence, the most logical explanation seems to be a medical emergency.
I'm so curious what kind of medical emergency causes you to hold the gas pedal down at 100% while also being, like, cognizant enough to take control turns.
She's got Annie Potts disease.
As Vincent Gambino once said, I would love to hear this. She supposedly has POTS.
POTS. No, I'm not making, if anybody actually has this, I'm not making fun of it. No. I only call it Annie Potts disease because A, I love Annie Potts.
Oh, she's great.
And B, because I don't believe this is fucking real. But it stands for, I can't say these words.
Postural.
Postural I can't say that one.
According to the Cleveland Clinic.
Keep every second of that, Tom.
This is just based on my research. I have no experience with POTS. If anything I'm saying is wrong, I apologize. But based on the POTS, according to the Cleveland Clinic, is a condition that causes your heart to beat faster than normal when you transition from sitting or lying down to standing up. That's the whole thing with POTS, right? So you can experience like dizziness or fainting or near fainting or whatever.
It might also be the lack of eating, Mackenzie.
Or that too. But she's like, according to Mackenzie and her parents, with POTS, you just black out. It comes out of nowhere. Mackenzie says, I could just be sitting here like this and it could hit me. See, Kenz, that's where you're wrong.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing about POTS is that symptoms show up from when you're sitting down to when you're standing up again. So like, this is, again, my understanding.
Yeah.
But even if what I'm saying is wrong, what she's saying is complete bullshit. How are you passed out, but also pressing the gas pedal at 100?
And once again, drivers, back me up. This is not just like casually resting your foot on the pedal and it just gets heavy. You have to push it to the floor.
No, and you don't need to like, seeing the footage, it's so, you think it's sped up, the footage.
Yeah, no, truly. And like, I can't say it enough. Like, a passed out person, the foot would be slowly coming off the gas. That's how cars are designed.
Or there would be like, the wheel wouldn't be so, you wouldn't be fighting for control of the wheel. Like,
exactly.
What the fuck? And now her stupid mother is here to commit perjury on the stand, testifying about St. Mackenzie's POTS diagnosis.
Oh my God.
And she's destroyed instantly because the prosecutor's like, okay, so your perfect baby gorgeous daughter has been experiencing severe, according to you, severe POTS symptoms for years. And yet you took her to get a driver's license?
Right. Had absolutely no problem with this.
And look, everyone is different. If you have POTS and you're good to drive, that's great for
you. Sure.
That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, no.
Like, using this theory as their defense is inherently contradictory.
And also, we're just hearing about it today.
Right.
And also, the DA says,
we were never provided with a opinion from a medical person stating that Mackenzie had suffered some kind of POTS incident that caused this. And I think that's because that's not what happened.
There was not a single medical expert that the defense provided to say this is what happened.
Right. That, I mean, because what they're proposing is impossible.
Right.
Because POTS symptoms are relieved.
You can't even pay a witness to say this.
No. The symptoms are relieved when you're sitting down.
Right.
Which is what you're doing when you're driving. And so, the only expert was Mom the Enabler.
And also, the other thing, too, it's like a small point, but it's important. She navigates the curve. Like, if she were passed out, she would have driven straight forward. She navigates the curve.
And it is then a straight shot into the wall. It's terrifying.
Yeah. She was aiming for it.
So Dominic's mom, Christine Russo, takes the stand, and she has very valuable recordings that were made by Dominic days before the crash. And to the surprise of no one, it's Mackenzie being a fucking nightmare once again.
And just super abusive. She's like demanding to be let in the house, then threatening to break into the house to do actual violence to him. And this is where, like they say, you could feel the energy shift in the courtroom, where people were willing to give Mackenzie the benefit of the doubt until this video, when because they're saying, wait a second, she's capable of this.
Because,
they didn't believe that sweet little innocent Mackenzie was capable of it until they saw her true colors on these videos.
Or that a 20-year-old guy older than her and bigger than her could be abused. Like, just because he's a 20-year-old man doesn't mean that he's not being abused.
Also barely bigger than her.
I know. But but she's saying things like, you're going to open the store right now or there's going to be a serious fucking problem.
Yes.
Like, she's Drita.
Right, yeah.
And she goes, okay, ready? I'm going to count to 10.
You're going to come open this door right now, or there's going to be a serious fucking problem. You're going to open the door and stop hiding behind the door like a little fucking bitch.
I can't let you in my house with how you're acting. Like, it's as simple as that.
Okay, I'm going to break into your house then.
When he refuses to let her in, she's like, okay, I'm going to break into your house. Like, if the roles were reversed.
I know. I mean, like, I know.
And we've seen it reverse many times.
Many, many, many times.
It's so insane. And, like, the judge makes her decision.
She's found guilty of murder, obviously, for killing
all
Dominic
counts.
And Davion. When it comes to sentencing, she can either get 15 years to life or 30 years to life, like, individually, for each charge. And so at sentencing, we're not done with her videos. The prosecutor is showing so many more. Because, like, they want the judge to give her the maximum.
Mm-hmm. Which is 30 to life.
30 to life times two.
Yep.
And so these videos, literally, like, the lyrics in these videos that she's lip-syncing to are, I'm the girl you die for.
And, like, some of them, I think that was something before the crash, which Rosie wants with her fucking attitude. I'm not even going to mention what she says.
Yeah.
But, like, the videos from after the crash, after she killed two people.
And before she was arrested.
She's dressed up as a corpse for Halloween.
Yeah.
This is 3 months after she killed two people.
Can you imagine, like, having killed the love of your life and you're out celebrating with your friends in costume as a corpse
and
on Halloween?
Your best friend, Davion, like, best friend. Like, Davion was not, like, I just don't trust anything these people say. And then she reads her, like, bullshit statement apology. And I think maybe the tears are real here because she's never once had to deal with the consequences.
Right. Yes.
And I think she's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So I think some of it might be just abject terror of what might happen to her. Maybe, maybe.
I know I'm a broken record, but you are doing your children such a disservice to not prepare them for the realities of life.
I mean,
you are doing your kids such a disservice. Do you think I don't want to look into my daughter's eyes and tell her how beautiful and wonderful she is every minute of the day?
Yeah.
And of course, there's a fair amount of that, but there is so much accountability for my kid. There is so, like, and I'm not trying to, like, pat myself on the back as a parent. I'm just saying, like, I know it can be hard to be hard on your kid sometimes, but you're doing the right thing to teach them how to be human beings in the world. This is the first time Mackenzie has ever had somebody say to her, you're in trouble.
Right. But that's the gig.
Yes. That is the gig.
When you're a parent, that's what you do.
Unless you're Kendra or you're these parents,
and
you were literally just trying to make friends. Like, you're literally trying to have friends. Like, that is, people do that.
And this
is the consequence of that.
Right. And Divine, Davion's sister, is like, that was the worst apology I've ever heard in my life. But then her bitch-ass mother gets up there, and her statement is so focused on Mackenzie that the judge stops her.
I'm hearing an awful lot about your daughter. I'm not hearing very much about the two dead people.
Dominic, okay, I'm asking you for leniency because this was a tragic action that she does not remember. And Davion, he's a new friend. And I'm so sorry.
What does that mean? His life is worthless?
No. I'm so sorry, guys.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
She goes, Dominic, okay? I'm just asking you for leniency. She just says Dominic's name.
I know.
And then she goes, and Davion, he was a new friend. And the judge is like, what does that have to do with anything? So his life was worth less? And she goes, no. And then she does this, like, the stupid, like, shrug face. Like, no, God, no.
And, like, the mother, and the thing I was thinking about, too, watching this the second time, was how fucking mad Mackenzie must be at her mom for fucking up the plea for leniency.
Oh, yeah. No, she's getting her privileges docked.
Yeah, for sure.
The mother is. This is a prepared statement, by the way.
Yeah.
But also, like, the way these parents present themselves is so telling to me. Like, the interview for the doc, Steve the dad is wearing that horrible boom shirt.
Yeah.
Her mother's wearing a baseball tee. They both look messy and disheveled. In court, her mother is wearing this, like, ill-fitting tank top, and her dad is wearing this bright green shirt.
I know.
And, like, my point is, like, especially for court, can you please give a shit about the weight of this situation
and
dress accordingly?
Because to show respect to the dead kid
yes.
that you said was a part of your family.
Like, some like, ill-fitting tank top is, like, can you wear, like, a blade? I'm sorry, like...
No, I know. Like,
to me, it's so disrespectful. And you're like, what would Mackenzie think is cool for me to wear?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so rude.
It is. And so here's the other thing. She gets 15 years to life to be served concurrently for both of them. The judge actually said, I know everybody wants me to give her the harshest sentence, but I don't think that would be correct. She said, I know she won't be out in 15 years. So the judge actually did give her a more lenient sentence.
And the
judge is trying to say to Mackenzie, if you do this right, you might actually be able to have a life on the other side of this. The sentences are running concurrently. They're not consecutive.
No.
So, like, I just thought that was interesting that the judge is yelling at the mother, but then does give the more lenient sentence.
But then also says that she will most likely spend the rest of her life in prison.
Yeah.
And especially with everything that's come out.
And
those jail calls are recorded, you idiots.
I know. I was wondering, though, because 30 to life would have been for sure, like, the rest of her life in prison. I wonder if the judge wasn't saying, I'm giving you an opportunity to turn your life around. I'm giving you the opportunity to maybe someday breathe a breath of free, fresh air.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think that's possible, honestly.
Yeah.
But we're back with Mackenzie with the doc, trying her hardest to squeeze out a few tears.
Yeah.
And the filmmaker is like, all right, like, we're kind of wrapping up now. So do you have any last words? And she looks over to her lawyer off camera.
I don't want to force anything and just say too much or sound crazy. I just want to just make sure that I'm big on the no intent. There was no intent whatsoever.
There was no intent whatsoever. Zero emotion, zero remorse. And this isn't like checking in to make sure you remember, you said everything you wanted to say, you want like, or you don't want to mess up an appeal. Like, it's the way she does it that's the issue.
Yes.
It's totally valid to sit with your lawyer. Like, I get that and look over and be like, did I mention that point I wanted to? But it's how she's doing it. And like,
because it's also transactional. Like, she said that she was here to tell her version of events. She's not. She's here to try to garner sympathy from the public, thinking that that's going to help her case.
To make it look like she feels that.
Exactly.
And not actually feel it. And I've seen so many people online say that Netflix gave her a good edit and it skewed towards her innocence. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what documentary did you watch?
Wow.
I watched something called The Crash on Netflix.
Yeah.
Where she and her parents look like the fucking stupidest assholes on the planet. Like, I don't understand. Who thinks this was like a good edit for her?
No, and especially because like we get on screen text being like, at this point, she like stopped and looked over for guidance from her. Like, they are telling us that this girl is a piece of shit.
So as we're coming to the end, we are back with Scott, Davion's father. And he says like the truest thing out of this whole thing. He goes,
the worst thing that could happen is for Mackenzie to be babied for the next 15 years by her parents and told she did nothing wrong and she never made a mistake in her life and she's the perfect girl and she's been completely wronged and the system's against her and the prosecution lied. All those things are damaging to her psyche. Those aren't going to help her.
All of those things are damaging to her psyche. And I said, yes. But to take it further, all of those things contributed to the deaths of Dom and Davion.
100%.
Like, we wouldn't be here.
No.
If these two had a spine.
And this is where he says that, like, he has the capacity for forgiveness. Like, he doesn't want to carry around the burden of the anger of this for the rest of his life. He just wants her to be fucking honest.
Right.
And he says, I want her to tell us, and I don't care how badly it affects her, her chances for parole down the road or whatever. I want her to tell us what happened.
Yeah.
I want to know what those last minutes of my son's life were like.
And this idiot has already, and her stupid mother, like these jail calls, which I will get into, are recorded. That all counts towards parole. All of her infractions and her disciplinary record in prison is not going well for her. If she was honest, she'd have a better chance at parole. But this is not helping her.
Are we going to talk about this? Like, we cut back to Mackenzie's parents and all of a sudden they say they've got ironclad evidence that disputes what was said in the trial?
No, they're saying that that Mackenzie texted Dom's mom, like that
during,
Dom...
It was like during that incident on the highway where Dom had to call and be like, she's trying to like run me off the road or whatever.
Yeah, and the henchman had to come save him.
We're seeing text messages from, we're told from Mackenzie to Dom's mom where she's saying he's the one that grabbed the wheel.
Yeah.
He's the one that...
Damage control.
Right.
Bullshit.
Just totally fake. Because this was all meant to like be for the appeal, which was then denied.
Like... Shut up.
It's crazy.
So, yeah, her first appeal was denied, and she and her family continue to fight the conviction, says the on-screen text. Her first parole hearing is scheduled for September 2037. Can that please be live so we can see her get denied?
I mean, is she going to make it to 2037? Like, that is not soon.
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. But also, so it ends with Davion's family. They have a barbershop
scholarship.
It's the Davion Flanagan Memorial Scholarship Fund. I donated to it. If you want to, you should too. I just think it's a very sweet, amazing
idea. They just want to send kids to barber school.
And they're doing it.
And their dad says,
there is a handful of days in those 2.5 years that I've been happy. Like, genuinely, really happy. And the day that we handed out the scholarship was one of those days. People are going to know his name, and people are going to know his heart and who he truly was. And if we could do that, then Davion does have a future. And he might not be in it, but his memory sure is.
There have been a couple of moments over, like, the last 3 years where I felt real joy. And one of them was, like, giving out the scholarships. My God, girl, we did the crash.
And don't forget, my after party is available right now.
Yeah, so
you go in on the Mean Girl Murders, the Killer Cases episode, all the police documents that are out there. Like, trust me, I'm doing my best.
All the shit that was left out of this documentary, Jill, you can go get it right now ad-free at the after party tier.
And I do want to say, I still come to the same conclusion.
Yeah. Where
everyone's like, oh, do the Mean Girl Murders episode instead. They left out that she was such a mean girl. I'm like, what documentary did you watch on Netflix? She's so obviously a mean girl. But don't worry, I watched them all. We're going through it.
And also, don't forget, we've got 500,000 subscribers on YouTube. 500,000. So please go watch, go subscribe, go hang out on our YouTube page. It is so much fun. What are we doing next, girl?
We're we're doing a Dateline episode called Secrets in the Ashes. Ooh. Very highly requested. This is another instance of Andrea Canning, like, do you hear yourself?
A-cans.
No, but no, no, no. Double down. Say it to my face.
Oh,
do you
my
hear
God.
Yourself? Andrea Canning is tired.
You know, it's funny because Keith gets all the love, but A-cans is, she's on it. I said this, I was on vacation last week and I saw an Andrea Canning episode. I'm like, she's so fucking good at this.
Yeah, and this is, she's like, I love when they, like, can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, do you hear yourself? And so that's another one of those Andrea Canning, like, I can't handle this anymore.
Oh, all right. Well, stay tuned for the trailer for that, fam. And we love you.
We love you. Stay safe, please.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Tonight on Dateline.
It can't go down as a homicide. It can't go down as anything but an accident.
She wanted me to kill her husband. She sent me a picture. Like, here he is. Go get him.
I have to go through the crying and the whole widow process.
You can hear her complaining that she'll have to be the grieving widow.
It would all just be an act. It gave me chills. It made me think, this is something she's done before.
I thought back to the affair. It made me question her part in my aunt's murder. There was a fire. She didn't make it out.
Just when you think the story couldn't get any bigger, it just goes on and on.